T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You know, Diesel, I've been thinking, I'm not a fan of the microphones at ESPN Upstate. Uh-huh. If they don't change the microphones here, then I'm going to retire.
And you know what Intercom will say? See you later.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What if I bring Intercom the kind of money that Antonio Brown is bringing the Oakland Raiders? Oh, wait, he can't do anything because he's not on the field. That's right. Hello, everybody, and welcome in. It is ESPN Upstate. You know, I'm only kidding. It's Willie P here with you in for Sturge, along with Diesel. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. We've been talking a lot today about Clemson and South Carolina. Clemson had its first scrimmage over the weekend, basically their inter-squad. Very, very good day for both the offense and the defense per Dabo Swinney. The offense had an initial surge, and then the defense bowed up. 10 of the first 19 drives resulted in punts for the Clemson offense, so good bowing up again from the defensive side of the football for Clemson. Freshman receiver Frank Ladson has had a knee scope. A couple of weeks he'll be out. Dabo Swinney says it's not serious, though. They expect him back for the opener against Georgia Tech, which comes your way about 2.5 weeks from now. Very, very fast approaching. Derrion Kendrick still out with a hamstring injury. Did not play in the scrimmage on Saturday, but did go and run the stadium steps. They hope to have him back by next week. Of course, he is basically the guy who has been lined up opposite of Justin Ross, while A.J. Terrell has been taking on T. Higgins. T. Higgins, of course, back in practice on Saturday. He was, when we saw him visible to the media on Thursday, was wearing a green jersey, non-contact or limited contact jersey on Thursday, but he was back full go at practice on Saturday. Still no Davis Allen at tight end. Same goes for Jalen Lay. South Carolina just got off the practice field today with their first scrimmage of fall camp. Couple of injury updates as well. Tavian Feaster continues to be hampered by the infected tooth that was removed earlier this month. He'd been held out of contact situations during practice. He's been cleared for contact, though, beginning Wednesday. So that is an encouraging sign for him. Danelle Stanley did not play in the scrimmage on Monday, senior offensive lineman, but he's expected back at least later on this week. He's been dealing with back spasms. He's a sixth-year senior, so what more possibly could he need practice-wise? Better to get those guys working. They say they've seen a lot of progress from guys like Eric Douglas, who they say would be their starter at right guard right now if the season began today. Evan Hinson's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks with an irregular heartbeat, the issue very similar to what Taylor Stallworth went through when he was at South Carolina. JT Ebay has not been playing well as well. He's been dealing with a strained pec. He had a similar injury from where he transferred for before when he played at Rice, and also a stinger for Keel Pollard at tight end has limited him as well. J.J. Enagbare, who has also been limited at the start of camp, expected to be a full go on Wednesday, and Keir Thomas at defensive line will be cleared next week. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. Text line 71307. Start your message with ESPN, and then you can be a part of the program. We were talking earlier to begin the show, Diesel, basically about the potential for intra-squad scrimmages between teams in college football. Gray Thompson, who tweets us at ESPN Upstate, says it's kind of genius if the result is this particular outcome. He sincerely thinks if they're ever going to have all Power 5 scheduling or anything close to it, the changes will start from individual schools rather than any one conference starting first or an NCAA mandate. I agree with you. That's the first step when it comes to that perspective. You need to have all the FBS schools playing only FBS teams. And if it was all Power 5, that wouldn't be bad either.
Yeah, I mean, I understand from the FCS perspective, because I came from a school that was FCS when I was there. Sure, you want the opportunities to go out and beat the big boys. Mm-hmm. But those opportunities are so rare. And now I'm thinking from the perspective, excuse me, not the opportunities, but those occurrences are so rare, unless you're North Dakota State, in which case you should be playing football in the Mountain West.
You should be.
Without a doubt, they should be playing football. I remember playing South Dakota State in a playoff game 2006. Mm-hmm. And at the time, North Dakota State was still Division II. And I remember hearing people in the crowd saying, yeah, you guys better watch out for North Dakota State.
Exactly.
I was like, North Dakota? I was like, who's that? And they're like, oh, they're moving up in 2 years. And they're going to run this division once they get set. And they, oh my God, they have.
Yeah, exactly.
But from the Power Five school perspective, you don't want to play those guys because it nets you nothing. Your fans bitch, moan, and complain about it every single year. Why would you want to play? Why should we play them? There's all downside and no upside. Well, you're okay, then do something about it.
Exactly.
And in South Carolina, there's a unique situation where they have to play an in-state FCS. South Carolina State mandates that Clemson and South Carolina play one in-state division FCS every year. So why not put that game in a different format, make a whole fan day out of it, make money that way, and then you can make more money by scheduling an FBS team. Whether you want to schedule a regional group of five or whether you want to schedule a power five. That's up to you, but that gives you options.
Certainly does. We were talking earlier about what was going on with that particular situation. At Gamecock Pride 01 says, doesn't Clemson play against enough weak teams already?
Oh, hot take.
That's bad. That's very bad. Come on now. Don't mac on the ACC clown conference like that, the all clown conference like that. Oh, wait. That's my line.
I mean, sure, play in a hard conference all you want to and finish third in the division.
Exactly.
At best.
Exactly. So, the situation involving Antonio Brown is something that I didn't want to get into, but it played very, very well for me over the weekend. And so I at least want to at least bring this up as a matter of principle before we get to Bob Ritchie, Furman basketball head coach, coming up about 10 minutes from now. I don't understand what Antonio Brown's end game is, but I almost feel like this is just a way for him to get out of practice. Does this not seem like something that is just...
Do you think he really has a problem with the helmet, or is he just messing with him?
I think this is just just trying to get out of practice. It's really all what I think it is.
Practice? Yeah, you can't... That should be a sports radio rule. You can't say the word practice without saying practice?
Practice.
You're talking about practice?
Well, I think this is a particular angle from him. I don't understand what his end game is. They're not going to let him wear the helmet. Let me put it this way. If Tom Brady is being weighed to change his helmet and he's doing so, guess what? They're not going to let you, Antonio Brown, do anything differently.
Does it really matter what helmet you wear?
So I talked to a guy who used to play in the league over the weekend, and he said that the helmet almost kind of is like a haircut to guys in the league. Like, you know, if you're playing with an ugly looking helmet, it's like playing with an ugly haircut, like going to the barber and getting butchered. It's a fashion type statement. And there's a level of comfort that you get with a particular helmet, particular brand. Although, again, and not to speak out of school, because Lord knows the level of football that I played is the 180 degree opposite from the level that Antonio Brown played and plays. But the helmets that I was always issued when we played football, they were always uncomfortable as all get out. Never really felt okay. And guess what? When you get hit, it hurts. I mean, that's the thing. There's really no way to get around that particular scenario. And I know that they've done probably amazing things since I last played football about 10 years ago when it comes to the technology of helmets. I know that they've tried to implement some of the soft cast type stuff like they have with NASCAR barriers on the outside of that helmet, but some of those make you look like the Great Gazoo. I understand all that. I had somebody bring this up to me over the weekend. Why don't they just make him sign a waiver to say, look, you can wear the old helmet, you just can't sue the league?
They just don't want to open this thing up to a can of worms.
Of course.
They want to force him into the box and say, hey, if you don't like, why don't you just why don't you get it with the helmet company and make an interior of comfortable for you?
I think that the helmet company, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the particular company either no longer exists or is just, I think the reason is that they've discontinued the model. And because of that,
well, no, I'm saying get with any of the other helmet companies that are making approved helmets,
right,
and just find an interior that's comfortable for you.
He's used a couple of different ones and all that. I don't think that his end game really is this, though. Like, I really don't think that
this is... to get his own way. That's all this is about, is Antonio Brown getting his own way.
Well, he's never been told no before, and he was with an organization that probably gave him more rope than they are accustomed to giving players when it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm-hmm. The fact that it didn't work there with that organization, one of the crown jewel organizations in the National Football League, tells me there's something not right about this dude. And everything behind the scenes is like, you know, people have told me he's an amazing worker. He's always the hardest worker at practice. He's not one of these gamer type guys that doesn't practice. He actually puts out effort in practice and things of that nature and wants to be out there. Yet I look at the modus operandi here, and I'm thinking, how in the world can you be a practice guy and a good guy if you are moaning and whining about your damn helmet?
If you had to guess, how many players are there in the NFL?
53 times 32 would be the math on that. 1,696.
So 1,695 players can get right with this helmet change rule.
Mm.
Well, and I guarantee
there's at least three players who spoke out about it, and Tom Brady was one of them.
Okay, well, everybody else can get right
with it. Aaron Rodgers was another as well.
They can all get right with it, but these three can't.
And those two guys get hit more than Antonio Brown does. Oh, you're probably around the same, probably about the same, depending on how their offensive lines are in a given year. If it's Aaron Rodgers, probably a little bit more than Tom Brady.
But if you're that big of a deal,
they don't protect him for anything up there.
If you're that big of a deal and you find a helmet that looks okay on the outside, and then go talk to the people who make the helmets and say, hey, you know, this little, the way the padding around the ear sits on the side of my head, I don't like that. Can we tweak that? Can we adjust that? It's not that hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys are making so much money.
Right.
They could do that. This is all personality. It's all personality. It's all Antonio Brown saying, I have to get my way. And if I don't get my way, I'm going to be petulant. And this is petulance from Antonio Brown.
It does sound petulant. And the thing that I don't like about it is that it is now brought forth, and a part of the reason is because they're on Hard Knocks. I think that's part of the reason why they've gotten so much run with this, is because of the fact that people are wondering how the league is going to treat this and how the league is going to handle this from the standpoint of whether or not Hard Knocks is going to turn this into a story, or how they will treat this as a story. Spoiler alert for folks, the first episode of Hard Knocks was garbage. This next episode is also going to be garbage, and it's not going to cover anything involving what they really should be covering, which is how Antonio Brown comes off as, the word you used, a petulant child. And I don't think that it's going to really be anything that looks disfavorably on the organization, because the league and the team have final say and the final cut over what makes the final taping, as far as that goes.
I mean, when you talk about petulant children in general, and in this situation, Antonio Brown with the Raiders, you would hope that they would say, all right, you don't want to play with this helmet, then don't play for our team. Mm-hmm. We don't owe you anything. But I know contracts are involved, and you can't do that. You can't cut your highest profile player because he doesn't want to wear the kind of helmet, but you should be able to.
Apparently, the NFL says they want to go after his money. Because apparently he'd be in violation of the even just by not playing because of that rule, he'd be in violation, and that there should be money that comes out of his contract as a result of that. I don't know if the Raiders are going to do that because they don't want to create discontent with the player. Though, again, he says he wants to retire, and I almost want to feel like the NFL should be like, guess what?
Okay.
Let's see what happens.
I mean, I'd love to. I wish the NFL would blackball more players
right
for being a-holes.
Exactly. By the way, I will say this: these microphones, these are like my favorite microphones.
Cadillacs.
Very nice. Somebody said to me over the weekend, they said that you always sound, because I've done different work for different radio stations over the courses of the last couple of months, and they said for some reason on ESPN Upstate you always sound better. And I said it's because of the Shure microphones, because these are the Rolls Royce of broadcast microphones. So I will say that as far as that goes from the intercom folks. I meant that statement about the microphones to begin the hour, surely in jest. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number, 71307 on the text line. We'll take your comments. We're going to hear from Will Muschamp, hopefully, at the bottom of the hour. But coming up next, we're going to hear from Bob Ritchie, Furman basketball head coach. His team had a trip basically out of the country over the last week or so. We want to find out how that went for them and him and how his team looks going into the 2019-2020 season, competing in a very tough Southern Conference. Straight up a Sturge. Willie P. in for Sturge along with Diesel. This is ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, radio.com app. As we continue here on a Monday, we will continue to effort the head coach of the Furman Paladins, Bob Ritchie, as we get you going here on a Tuesday. Talking about Clemson's opening scrimmage, talking about also the South Carolina opening scrimmage, which just got done earlier today at what was going on here with the was going on from the Gamecock perspective. Very interesting to kind of look at that from that perspective, just because they were very much a part of what we brought to the table from you from that perspective, because South Carolina was a team that for many people, at least looking at their season, I would say you thought at the beginning there was a lot to at least see from this particular schedule that they would see, because of the fact that they had a very, very tough schedule coming in. And as a result of that, I think from a lot of people's perspectives, they looked at it and said, okay, you need to get to a certain point this year with Will Muschamp, because 2020 might be the year, because you have Joyner or Helinski in the fold. But in my mind, I still look at this and I say, you need to at least get yourself to 7 or 8 wins in order to feel very, very good about 2020, because I don't think that you do yourself any favors by giving yourself a negative part of this particular realm. And not only that, I feel from South Carolina fans' perspective, they have lower expectations than that. So who knows? 844-GSP-ESPN. The NCAA has done something. They've basically issued a retraction, if you will. According to ESPN, this is something that just came out within the last couple of hours. They've amended its certification process for agents representing basketball players who are deciding whether to stay in school or explore the NBA draft. They will no longer require them to have a bachelor's degree. This, of course, was talked about under the Rich Paul rule. You know, from that perspective, I look at this. Remember, we were talking about this last week, Diesel, the rule that basically from the NCAA's perspective came out and was very much looked at as something that was singling out one person, the Rich Paul rule. Well, now they're not going to require the agents to have a bachelor's degree.
I remember hearing that. Why not just make them go through some sort of certification Why does it have to be a degree?
Well, they will have to have the certification process anyway because of that situation where I think one of the things was like an in-person test in Indianapolis. Basically, those who do not have a bachelor's degree will have to be in good standing with the National Basketball Players Association. So the NCAA said in a statement Monday, we're committed to providing student athletes who are deciding whether to stay in school or not or explore NBA draft options with wide access to an array of resources to make the decision. That's what the NCAA said in a statement on Monday. It is our pleasure to be joined now on the phone lines by the head coach of the Furman Paladins, Bob Ritchie. Bob is just fresh off of a trip with his team to the Bahamas. And, Bob, I just hope that you brought the sunscreen. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, it's beautiful down there. We had a great time and got great weather and played a couple games and stayed right there on the Atlantis. So, you know, didn't really have to venture out a ton. And the guys just got a lot of time to connect with one another and, you know, try to become one. So it was a really good trip.
Yeah, I know that a lot of these trips are very unique from that standpoint. You know, you end up playing some all-star teams and things of that nature. What was it about this particular trip that made you want to make this particular journey with this particular team?
You know, I think everybody kind of has a different philosophy on those trips. For us, it's more about being connected and getting closer and really using it as a time where you can get to know each other better. And, you know, the basketball piece is just a bonus in terms of the competition. You really want the 10 practices. And for us, once we got on that plane last Friday, you know, the work was kind of done and we were going to go enjoy it. We're going to go have some fun together. And, you know, the games, it was more about, you know, we played an 11-man rotation in both the games and we didn't play Noah Gurley. So, really, you know, you could almost say it's giving 12 guys a look, which we know we won't do during the year. But, you know, we know what we have with a lot of these guys that are returners for us. We wanted to see what the young guys would do and throw them out there a little bit, maybe get a little bit of a head start peek of what we could see before we get into September.
Who stood out to you from the standpoint of guys who were not necessarily contributors a year ago?
You know, we had a couple that we thought, and it was really all summer, but I would say, you know, some of the biggest jumps, Jalen Slauson probably was the biggest jump, you know, in terms of totality from what he did last year, which, you know, was in the rotation in and out, played small minutes for us, but he's really had a great spring and summer and really was one of our more productive players over there in terms of just everything he was able to do and rebounded at a high level, scored the ball, distributed the ball well. He's been a really good passer, which has been good to see, and just played really hard. So he did a lot for us. Mike Bothwell continues to show progress. And then, you know, this one really isn't new because Trey Clark, you know, had a lot of hand in some of our big victories last year, but he's really made some big strides and just, you know, focusing on rebounding, defending, being a cutter, being a driver, and really trying to impact the game with athleticism.
You know, looking at obviously what you will have to do this upcoming season, you know, there are obviously some parts that you will not have from a season ago. When you look at the way that you construct this team, do you look at it as having one person in mind to replace the production of guys like Brown and Rafferty, or does that have to come more collectively?
You know, I think anytime that happens, you got to be collective. It's got to be about your program and, you know, you trust the process in the off season, and you get 8 months to really build more in terms of your depth, make people better, make players better, and you know, it's the same questions we got last year, right? You know, how are you going to replace 50% of your scoring? And you know, then you have guys like Alex Hunter and Clay Mounts and Noah Gurley kind of emerge out of nowhere, and you know, hopefully we'll see some of those same jumps this off season. And when you lose a guy like Matt Rafferty and you lose a winner and a guy that just understands all the grounds of college basketball, and Andrew Brown, that's a lot to replace. And to ask one person to do that, I don't think is really fair. But, you know, we had a lot of guys, you know, a lot of guys got to play last year, and we had a lot of youth that got to play. And so, you know, if we continue to see the strides in those guys that we need to see, I think we'll be pleased where we're at.
Furman head coach Bob Ritchie joining us here on ESPN Upstate. You know, when you and I talked last year, we talked about the development of this conference, and I think that between your run early in the season in the top 25, obviously the upsets helped, and then Wofford kind of taking the baton later in the season, doing what they did in the NCAA tournament. how much did the collective success of your teams kind of put this conference on the map among the woes in college basketball that looked at as probably underrated in a lot of people's minds?
You know, I think the visibility has definitely increased, and we've seen that in recruiting, and just, you know, I think that any time we've seen the league show progress in the last few years, but I think this past year, a couple of things took place to really get it on the national scene. And the more you can do that, the more you can, you know, stabilize that and continue to have that, I think that's really going to help the league. And, you know, we got to keep doing it. We got to keep doing it, and we got to continue to find ways to showcase our conference. And hopefully that affords itself to new TV opportunities and ways to get some increased exposure, because it's a really, really good league. And, you know, I don't think if you follow the league the past few years, it's amazing what a lot of these teams have been able to do. And, you know, we were putting a study together for recruiting a couple weeks ago, and, you know, looking at the programs in the country that have won 23 or more games the past 3 years. And I think there was only about 20, 25 teams total, if I'm not mistaken, but three of them are from our league. And, you know, Furman, ETSU, and Greensboro, when you have that type of sustained success over a while, I think it's only a matter of time before you see what we were able to see this past season.
What did your team learn by its own start of the season about how hard it is to sustain the success once you get to the nitty-gritty part of that conference season, which, as you know, is quite difficult?
Yeah, I mean, it was for us, it was just, you know, every game we tried to make it the biggest game of the year, and you know, just really tried to focus on the substance and not the hype. And, you know, it's one of those situations where we started out 12-0, but as we know, I mean, three or four of those games were overtime, and, you know, could have easily gone the other way. You know, you think of Gardner-Webb, you think of Villanova, you think of Western Carolina at home, you think about the last second win at Loyola. And so, you know, it's just the nature of the game, right? I mean, it's these games, with as good of the competition and as coaches and as players as there are, they're going to come down to the final possessions. And, you know, we were the benefactor of a lot of that early. And then late, you know, our guys still were in the hunt, and, you know, fought through a very rigorous conference schedule. And, you know, you go back and you look at it, same type of deal, right? You lose in Spartanburg on basically a tough shot by Storm Murphy there late. And we had a couple other games like that. But that's college basketball. And when you put two teams together that are well-coached and well-schooled, and you got good chemistry and good connection, you know, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. So I was proud of our guys. And we ended up in the regular season, I think we won 9 of our last 10. And, you know, it was one of those situations where, even though we had a lot of that hype early, we still, and even analytically approved out, we were still playing better basketball in February than we were early. And a lot of people miss that just because of the nature of those two wins. But when you look at how we were defending and you looked at our offensive efficiencies and all the numbers, we were actually playing better late. And, you know, so I was proud to see that. I thought our team stayed engaged and put us in a position to, you know, we lost that tough one in the semifinals to Greensboro, and then we're able to get a home game in the NIT. And, you know, I think it was a good step, but obviously we're not satisfied. We want to continue to make progress.
The folks here would be remiss if I didn't at least bring up Jordan Lyons to you once, and he's somebody who obviously has done everything that you've asked of him in your time at Furman. What more can he do? Is there another level to his game that you can squeeze out of him?
Yeah, I mean, I think if Jordan was on the line with us, he would be the first to say that. You know, I think anytime you're with great players, I mean, they're always wanting to make those steps. And, you know, it's funny, you know, last year at this time, I wasn't getting a ton of questions about Matt Rafferty. You know, he was kind of a third team all league guy, and, you know, just kind of, you know, you had Daniel Fowler and Devin Sibley and John Davis the year before. And, you know, it was one of those things that all of a sudden you saw how much better he got as a senior. And a lot of that was due to his leadership and just going through the rigors of it three times. And then all of a sudden, hey, it's his show, it's his team. And I think Jordan's going to be able to experience that as well this year. You know, it's going to be his team in a lot of ways. And, you know, I think there's areas that we've been able to, he and I have been able to go through and see areas of improvement that we've talked about through the offseason, and we've really addressed it and we've really worked on it. And I'll tell you what, his commitment to getting better has been the best I've seen it. And I was in the gym almost every single day this summer before 7 a.m. And really led the way in extra work and getting in the gym. And our new guys saw it.
and we had guys in the gym nonstop, and the way he led last week at the Bahamas, I think we're going to see a lot of growth in him, and a lot of it's going to be the leadership, but I think also that's going to translate into what his production looks like on the court as well.
Not sure if this has been announced or not, but what can you tell us about your 19-20 non-conference schedule?
Oh man, it's been like a root canal, you know, trying to get it together. It's not been fun. So, you know, there's what they say is, you know, when you're winning, scheduling is really hard, and when you're losing, recruiting is really hard.
I was about to say you're good now. No one wants to play you, Coach.
Well, I think some of it, it's not just us, but I think it's just the league. And I think that, you know, with some of these high majors going to 20 league games, and then some of the mid majors now having money to be able to buy games, I think it's just getting harder. And, you know, it's one of those challenges that a lot of us are having. And, you know, I think we only have three schools as of today that have released schedules for this upcoming season, which, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, you would never see that. But, you know, I think it's one of those situations where it's just taking a little bit longer. And, you know, we've still got two holes that we've got to fill, and we're in some discussions, and we're hoping to get those tied down pretty soon. But, you know, the model just makes it hard. And, you know, we've only lost a handful of games in Timmins in the past 3 or 4 years. So, you know, as much as that is a great thing, it also makes it harder to get home games. And so we're trying to figure it out, you know, and we got our new AD, Jason Donnelly, that's been phenomenal so far. He's working with us, and, you know, we're trying to aggressively get it done, and we're hoping in the next 2-3 weeks we can get something released.
I did want to ask you, how do you feel about your new boss up there?
I really like him. We've really connected well, and obviously he comes from a great athletic background, but you know, what they've been able to do in basketball from the national level, to do it at a highly academic institution, and to do it the way they've done it has been really encouraging. And, you know, also the fact that he was on Coach Wright's staff for 10 years, you know, I think that's hasn't just been an administrator. So the fact that he's also been on the sideline, and he's been in practice, and he's recruited, and he's put a schedule together, I mean, he knows all that stuff. And I think for us, that's going to pay big dividends. The fundraising that he was able to do up there and the efforts that he was able to lead is really remarkable. And a lot of it, you know, some of the key stuff prior to the national championships. So we're really excited. You know, President Davis did a phenomenal job putting a committee together. Our chairman of the board, Alec Taylor, the way they put that process together and what they were able to land. And Jason, I think they hit a home run.
All right, so I have Jay McCauley on record as saying he is going to wear a gold blazer at some point during this season, or a gold suit. Can we get you down for a purple suit? I know you don't like to wear the blazer on the sideline, but can we get you in a purple for the third season?
You know, I'm gonna stay away from that. I'm gonna stay away from that. We're gonna stay basic over here, and navy blue, white shirt, purple tie. You know, we'll just stick to the basics, and we'll just keep playing ball.
I did tell him, though, you are like Mr. GQ in the league now, so like he has to step his game up too. So I made sure he put that on that deal.
Oh, that's funny. No, I think the purple, you know, that might be a little too strong.
Too much
for you. We'll hold off on that. But yeah, I haven't done the. I know my former boss used to have a purple blazer that he would sport occasionally, and you know he could pull that off. I just, you know, I think the purple tie works just fine right now.
Bob Ritchie, Furman Basketball. We'll talk to you a little bit closer to the season. Wanted to get your thoughts after the trip to the Bahamas. Glad it went well, and we'll talk to you closer to the season. Thanks so much.
Sounds great. Y'all have a good night.
That is Bob Ritchie joining us here on ESPN Upstate. We'll come back, hear from Will Muschamp, South Carolina football coach, after their first scrimmage of the fall camp. We come back on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Join us tomorrow. We are at Frankie's New York Pizza, 101B The Parkway in Greenville. Our first remote together, Diesel. I'm very much looking forward to it. Please sure to come out 4 to 7. We'll be still talking sports. except we'll be in the midst of some high-quality za. Very, very happy to see that.
Do you call it pie, or is it weird to call it pie?
No, I love it. It is a pie.
It's not a pie. It's not even close to a pie.
Oh, it's a pie.
It's just a round thing. Not all round things are pies.
Somebody of my dad's from the north tried to order a pie when he moved to Tallahassee. And they were like, what do you mean pie?
Apple, cherry, boysenberry.
We don't do pie here. We
rhubarb.
They have a cheesecake, but not necessarily a pie. But he said, it's like I wanted to order a pie. And so he ordered a plain pizza, and he got a pizza with no cheese or no sauce, just dough. So it was in Tallahassee, Florida, though.
Bless
their little Tallahassee hearts. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. You can always call us. We had somebody call while Bob Ritchie was on. You said had a point on AB.
Yeah, Joker said that AB's helmet issue is not because of the helmet feel, which was a point that I beleaguered quite a bit, but it's because, according to AB, it limits his field of vision.
He can't see. Yeah. Anyway.
Out of all the approved helmets, he can't see out of any of them.
By the way, Dez Bryant has weighed in on the Dak Prescott debate. He says, pay Dak his $40 million and don't at me.
Oh, so he's not willing to have a debate.
He says, don't at me.
Again, another reason why I don't like the NFL.
And Dez Bryant, by the way, who's he playing for, right? Oh, that's right, nobody. Once again, divas. JShockM tweets us at ESPN Upstate. We were talking about the situation involving Dabo Sweeney saying to me and others in the assembled media that he wants an inter-squad scrimmage. He said, I mean, who doesn't want more football? I think we're very much all on board with that. Again, I think adding that to the off-season calendar, getting it out of the in-season calendar, I think only does wonders for South Carolina. And they could be the leaders in the clubhouse when it comes to this, because there's already, like you said, a similar law on the books. If they could amend that law, change it into something where that would still benefit the in-state FCS schools, probably benefit them a lot better than getting the butts kicked on the football field every once in a while. Will Muschamp just got off the practice field, as did the Gamecocks. Their first scrimmage inside Williams-Brice Stadium. He gives an overall overview.
Overall, you know, pretty pleased with the day. And to be able to get that many snaps, the depth we have obviously helps. It helps develop the bottom half of your roster. And that's where young players can really be developed in your program, especially line of scrimmage players. That's where it makes a difference in your team. And that's the first time we've really been able to do that in fall camp. But, you know, injury-wise, we're pretty good shape. Really, Evan Henson was having a hard time breathing earlier in camp, had an irregular heartbeat. He's going to have an ablation surgery on Wednesday, which is very similar to what happened to Taylor Stallworth 3 years ago. It's a 6 to 8 week recovery. He's going to be fine. I'm glad we caught it on the echo. But it's an unfortunate situation for him. JT Ebay strained his pec, same injury that he had at Rice. Probably be a week before we get him back, but he'll be fine. Donnell Stanley had a little bit of a back spasm, did not scrimmage today, but he's going to be fine. He'll be back this week. Keel Pollard's got a little bit of a stinger. We're working through that process right now. Tavian Feaster has been practicing, but he's been non-contact. We had to remove his tooth. It was an infected tooth, and they didn't want him to have contact. He'll be cleared for full contact when we get back at it Wednesday. Tomorrow's an NCAA mandatory off day, which we'll have meetings and walk through. J.J. Ambari would be back full on Wednesday. KT, Keir Thomas will be clear next week. And that's all we've got on the injury front. So, but again, pleased with the progress we've made, but obviously some things we can improve on.
And the one thing, too, that he did say that he was very encouraged by, especially on defense, is where they are in the secondary. A lot better off than they were not only at this time a year ago, but overall a year ago. They basically like what they have with J.C. Horn and Israel Mukuwamu on the outside. R.J. Roderick basically is now kind of playing in between safety and nickel. Same thing can be said for Jamias Williams. He mentioned JT Ebay, who's been out with an injury. He's still getting a lot of time at safety, as is fellow transfer Jamel Cook. Cook, of course, the transfer from Southern Cal. AJ Turner worked exclusively on defense in this scrimmage. So, again, that probably gives you at least more of a window into where they're using him on the defensive side of the football. Offensively, still an even battle at backup quarterback between DeCarrion Joyner and Ryan Helinski. He has seen encouraging things from that. No Tavian Feaster in the scrimmage because of issues involving his infected tooth. He's been basically held out of contact for the entirety of practice as a result of that injury, but they say he'll be cleared for contact on Wednesday, which is interesting because folks can see practice on both Wednesday and Thursday. I'm going to try to make it out there on Thursday to see some of the offensive players when it comes to South Carolina's perspective. And then, of course, another scrimmage for them coming up on Saturday. Jamie Robinson's also somebody who has been rounding out kind of the candidates possibly to be a contributor on defense. But one thing I did find interesting, what Will Muschamp had to say, was the development of where they are at the offensive line, which many believe is the best they've had, not only in Muschamp's time in South Carolina, but in anyone's time at South Carolina.
Well, Hutch has done a nice job at left tackle. Dylan Warren at right tackle. Eric Douglas right now would probably start at right guard, but he's also our backup at both tackle positions because he's a very flexible, smart guy that can do a lot of things and is athletic. I think Hank's having a really good camp. You know, as far as at the center position, what we've got some. You know, you got Chandler Farrell, you got Donnell Stanley, you got Eric Douglas. You got some. We've got some guys that can back up and play the center position. Right guard, you know, Eric and Javon Gwynn have both had a good battle in camp, which is good. And Donnell's been really good at the left guard. And Jordan Rhodes is continuing to progress for us. The two young tackles are going to be good players. It just there's a lot going on right now for those guys as far as the speed of the game, a lot installation and how they got to handle defensively, three down, four down pressures, and there's a lot going on between Jalen and Ja'Kai Moore, but both of the guys are going to be good players. They fit athletically. They just got to continue to have the game slow down for them, and it will.
And the thing about Farrell, too, is that Farrell has been working a little bit at tight end and kind of the H-back position also as a potential backup there. So wondering if he could maybe be somebody who plays almost kind of the eligible tight end, stand-up end, extra guy on the line of scrimmage when they run the football. Could see some maybe more traditional run looks from Will Muschamp when they start the 2019 season. We'll get more from Will Muschamp tomorrow as we parse through the audio from what he had to say about the scrimmage. And again, tomorrow, while we are at Frankie's New York Pizza, remember it is also a C&C Tuesday. Colin Taylor, Matt Connolly.
I feel like I should have some C&C Music Factory bed music ready for them tomorrow.
Ooh, should be interesting.
Yeah.
What would be on the C&C? That would be, which song am I thinking of from the C&C Factory? There's one big one that I'm blanking on.
Gonna make you sweat?
Oh, it's Car Wash, obviously. Isn't that, or Gonna Make You Sweat? There you go. That's the one. That's the one I was thinking of. You can do that for each of them when they come in. How about that? Does that sound?
Let's see how long it takes either one of them to figure it out.
See, there you go. That's the way we roll. What was left on the cutting room floor? We had a couple of things we didn't get to today. We will get you those things when we come back and let you peek a window into what we have for you tomorrow here on ESPN Upstate. Left on the cutting room floor was not a good weekend for the ESPN Sunday Night Baseball crew. First off, Jessica Mendoza got in a car accident, which precluded her from being on the broadcast. Then A-Rod had about $500,000 worth of jewelry and electronics stolen from his rental car.
Who puts $500,000 worth of jewelry and electronics in a rental car?
That's just A-Rod. I mean, A-Rod travels apparently with a lot of swag. Stole a camera, a laptop, miscellaneous jewelry, and a bag. The burglary involved a private citizen, and it's against department policy to release victim information. Don't know if they were able to get with the person who absconded these things. They're collecting evidence from the vehicle, and the department has made the case a high priority.
Well, listen, I don't feel bad. A-Rod's a jerk. I don't feel bad that he got stuff stolen from him.
That's not nice.
And knowing that he was just barely made aware that this thing happened. His people are handling it.
By the way, he has, you want to talk about a guy who has rebounded from the depths of degrade. I mean, he was like persona non grata for a while, and now he is like universally beloved.
By who? New Yorkers?
No, by the people. But he's on like every. He's on the Fox thing. He's on ESPN. He's everywhere. You can't.
I don't have to like him. I don't forgive that easily.
I'm not saying that I do. I'm just saying it seems like he's getting work.
Maybe he should just join Nick Saban's staff and rehab his image, and then he'll be okay.
Basically, what he's done. So because of that, I guess he's done that. I also had this thing. This All Sport Gamecock Pass is something that they're doing. $25 a month, any Gamecock event, as long as it's not sold out. Clemson fans, go ahead and make your jokes while you can. But I think it's a pretty cool. $25 a month, it gives you admission to all Gamecock athletic home events regardless of the sport, as long as they're not sold out. We'll get into that more tomorrow. Join us tomorrow from Frankie's New York Pizza, 101 The Parkway in Greenville. For Diesel, I'm Will. So long, South Carolina.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.